This is World Religions Explained. I'm your host, Kyle Cottle. Thank you for joining me today.
Today we are going to talk about the religion Sikhism. I always thought it was called Sikhism, and they were Sikhs, but it's actually Sikhism. So before I start, just please give me 5-star review and keep listening. That would help a lot. And check out my other podcast called The Unofficial IMDb Top Movie Review. And we'll get started. Sikhism is semi-known as a branch of Hinduism. This is because it came from India, like all of the rest of the Hinduism branches. Sikhs don't consider themselves a branch of Hinduism, though. They do believe in karma and reincarnation, like Hindus, and other religions that branched off of them. But their idea on God is a little different. They believe in one supreme God that created the universe as we know it today. That means that they are monotheistic. This God is called Waheguru. Waheguru has no gender or no form. It is an all-powerful entity. God is in everything, and all people have equal access to it. There are no chosen people to God, and Waheguru wants others to be good to each other and doesn't care about empty rituals or superstitions. So as you can see just from that, they do have some of that Eastern Indian religion to them, but also they have some of that Western style religion also about God. They have a sacred writing or scripture called the Guru Granth Sahib. This contains a set of teachings along with many hymns, and it was compiled from the years 1601 to 1604 by the fifth guru named Guru Arjan. And the interesting thing about this set of scripture is that it has teachings from many different people and not all of the same faith. Some of the teachings come from the Sikh gurus, while others come from Hindu and Muslim saints. This is because, like many of the other Eastern religions from this region, Sikhism believes that truth is truth no matter where it comes from. The book itself is also considered holy. It should be reverenced and respected. And so that's another thing about this religion, is it's the most recent or newest religion so far that we've talked about. So the background is that so far in the podcast episodes, that this is, as I said, the most recently formed religion. And the founder of Sikhism was a man named Nanak. He was Sikhism's first guru. And there were 10 gurus overall. So Guru Nanak was born in Punjab, India, in 1469. Not a ton is known about his life. He grew up as a Hindu, but realized that he could still feel the presence of God in his own way of worshiping and living. Many stories that were written about him and his life are full of miraculous events. So just like many other people, like Jesus, Moses in the Old Testament, Muhammad, that there are many miraculous stories. So Nanak took 5 trips in his life. So he took one trip in every cardinal direction, which is north, south, east, and west, and as well as he took one trip within Punjab. During these trips, he spoke to and debated with many different religious leaders and philosophers. As the stories go, as you could guess, he always got the best of them. His teaching was based around being able to meditate and focus on God so that you will slowly start realizing and understanding the truth, which will free you of this life and death cycle. Because Guru Nanak was able to reach a certain point through meditation in the name of God, he was able to obtain liberation. This liberation allowed him to receive the Guru Spirit, which means that the eternal Guru dwelt within him. After his death, this spirit went into the next guru. Each guru chose the next one through family relations. So there's a guru spirit that only these gurus have. The rest of us do not have it. As I said before, there are 10 gurus altogether. Some of them did more prominent things than others. Guru Ram Dass was the fourth guru. He was the one who appointed people called masands, which are people who are in charge of taking care of congregations. So when they met together as congregations, these masands were the leaders of them. Guru Arjan, the fifth guru who we mentioned before, was the one who compiled the Guru Granth Sahib, and which is the scriptures. He compiled the scriptures that Sikhs use today. Guru Arjan was eventually arrested and tortured because allegedly he supported the emperor's son instead of the emperor. And the emperor's son did not believe in the same thing as the emperor, as you can imagine. And before the emperor had killed him, or had him killed, he chose his son, Guru Hargobind, to be the next guru. This created a change in the way that gurus were viewed. Because of what happened to Guru Arjan, he urged his son to protect himself and his followers through violent means if needed. So Guru Hargobind, Guru Arjan's son, became the first guru to be seen not as just a religious leader, but also a temporal leader. He ended up fighting with his forces against the Mughals, which were ruling Punjab at the time. And then the ninth guru, Guru Tegh Bahadur, added some new hymns to the scripture, Guru Granth Sahib, and ended up closing the canon permanently. So by the ninth guru, the canon was closed. So to recap a little bit, these gurus at the beginning were more peaceful, but practicality overcame and prevailed. Therefore, these gurus ended up being semi-military leaders. And they started believing in violence if need be. So now we talk about the 10th guru. The 10th and last guru was named Guru Gobind Singh. And this is the second most important guru. The first most is the first guru, Nanak. And Guru Gobind Singh, 10th guru, that after his death, the power of gurus went into the scriptures. So that's why there's no more gurus. There's 10, but once he died, they went into the scriptures, and now you can read the scriptures and receive that same that same power and the same knowledge. And that meant that Sikhs didn't need gurus anymore, right? So they were all done with them. And he was also responsible, this 10th guru, was responsible for the creation of the Khalsa. The Khalsa are a group of Sikhs that devote their lives more fully to Sikhism and have become more of the leaders within the religion. And their creation made no more need for the masands who took care of the congregations. So now we had new types of leaders. So Sikhism doesn't have any set leader. They have place of worship called Gurdwaras, and there are people who are appointed to lead in such things as prayer, worship, and music, and each Gurdwara has a board of directors. So many other religions and churches have specific leaders, but interesting that Sikhs have a board of directors. And these are the people who are over operations and finances of the congregation in the building. So they're not necessarily even spiritual leaders, not saying they're not spiritual, they just are over more temporal things. And the reason that Sikhism is organized like this is because it wants to emphasize that no person is better than another. All people are equal in the sight of God. They have certain dietary laws, and many Sikhs are vegetarian, although this isn't necessary. Some Sikhs eat meat as long as it's prepared in the correct way and not in a way that Muslims or Jews prepare it. They have their specific ways to prepare it. And so you can compare them to Muslims and Jews who have specific ways to prepare their food and certain dietary restrictions. Sikhs also abstain from alcohol, another big thing. Sikhs who decide to get baptized are called Khalsa. So remember, that's what the last guru started. They must follow what they call the five K's. First K is Kesh. This means uncut hair. Uncut hair has been seen as a symbol of strength and holiness throughout time. It is also a way to accept God's creation as he gave it. The second K is Kara, which is a steel bracelet. It is steel because it isn't meant to be ornamental. Otherwise, it'd be gold or silver and look nice. So it's steel to make it look like just a normal bracelet and not like they're trying to look cool or look fancy. And it represents the endlessness of God as well as self-restraint. The third K is kanga, which is a wooden comb. It represents a clean body and mind, as well as a tool to keep long hair groomed. Along with this, Sikhs wear turbans, and under their turbans, they make sure that the hair is combed nicely. The fourth K is kacha. This is a certain type of underwear which symbolizes chastity. So sexual purity, right? The last K is kirpan or ceremonial sword. This represents spirituality and defense against the helpless and fighting against the injustice. And these are the five K's. They're always to be worn. There are three duties that Sikhs have. First is to pray. Praying is important because it keeps your mind focused on God and what you're supposed to do. Through prayer, you get closer to being liberated from the life and death cycle. The next duty is work. Laziness is not a good thing. Along with this, your work should be honest. So avoid working in businesses that create big issues like casinos or alcohol industries. That's kind of what, if you listen to my Buddhist podcast, kind of what Buddhists believe too. And the last duty is give. Giving charity is a very important virtue. Along with these three duties, there are five things to avoid. These things are lust, covetousness slash greed, attachment, anger, and pride. Basically, you need to live a good life. And as the first guru, Guru Nanak said, meditate in the name of God so that you become one with Him. Through your life, you can gain good and bad karma, depending on what you do in this life. Depends on how you live your next life. So, again, it's just like the other Eastern religions that we've talked about thus far. You can either be a plant, an animal, or a human. Plant is the lowest life form, then animal, then human. So I guess even the worst of us, at least we are still the higher life form, right? Maybe that means we at least did something, right? Maybe the really bad people are gonna go all the way down to being a plant. Who knows? But we are stuck in this cycle until we become liberated. Being liberated means to be united once again with Waheguru or God. This isn't something that can be explained, but only experienced. Like many religions, you must have faith that the end result will be worth it. Sikhs believe that life on earth can be like heaven or hell, depending on how we live it. Once we figure out how to make it a complete heaven, that's when we reach liberation. We become like a wave that reunites with the ocean. The reuniting is natural and good. We realize that we are one with God and aren't meant to be separated. All right. Well, thank you for listening to my podcast. Hopefully, you learned something about the six that you didn't know before. And again, please rate my podcast. It'll really help. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Listen to other podcasts. Look at my YouTube video. It's all in the description. And email me if you have any other questions and we can talk about it in other podcasts. Thanks for listening and have a good rest of the day.